is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Free for all Friday, my friends, and welcome to it. Glad to have you on board. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. We're going to talk to as many of you as we can today. I want to talk to you about who you're going to vote for. Because I had another exchange last night with a guy I've known for years who says he would rather vote for Hillary Clinton than vote for Donald Trump. He is a gun owner. I call him a moderate, I suppose. But during the conversation, it occurred to me that the Never Trump crowd is aligning itself with the likes of, well, the protesters that erupted in California last night, if you didn't know that, in Costa Mesa. At least 20 people arrested, police cars smashed, a couple of Trump supporters beaten. This all happened in Costa Mesa, California, where Donald Trump was having a rally. So the Never Trump folks are aligning themselves with the Black Lives Matter and the protesters and these nice folks that hate police officers, too. It's a nice little coalition that has been put together. My question is, where do you lie today? Because looking at the math now, it seems a lot closer than it was before. One dynamic I looked at, that Donald Trump only needs 43% of the remaining delegates available to the GOP frontrunner to clinch the nomination. This party is pretty well over. And for the most part, many Republicans are warming to the idea. Congressman Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania, Congressman Jeff Miller of Florida, both announcing their support for Donald Trump yesterday. Longtime Congressman John Duncan Jr. of Tennessee expected to follow suit today. Furthermore, regular meetings between House members and the Trump aides, once sparsely attended, have suddenly become must-see events. Trump's convention manager, who you've clearly heard about, Paul Manafort, huddled with House Republicans in a meeting described as standing room only. Among the Republicans in attendance were Congressman Tim Murphy and Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. They haven't endorsed Trump, but they both voted for him in Tuesday's presidential primary. Congressman Tom Reed of New York says, a month ago when we started, there were a lot of empty seats. Today it's packed. He's a Trump supporter. He attended a meeting yesterday at the Capitol Hill Club next to the Republican Party headquarters. Other high-profile people are getting in line, as I had mentioned previously. Bobby Knight of Indiana. The legendary coach Bobby Knight of Indiana getting behind Trump. In fact, I think we've got some sound of that. It is clip 5. Go.
And I was very, very selective with players during the time I was here. And I'll tell you one thing, that man that was just up here a moment ago, I'll tell you, that son of a bitch could play for me. I'm not here to represent the Republican Party. You know, quite frankly, I don't give a damn about the Republicans. And then on the other hand, I don't give a damn about the Democrats either. But I really think that we have, as Americans, a great opportunity not to represent a political party, but to pick the best man that we have available to lead the United States back to where we want it to be. And this man's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat at heart. He's just a great American.
And there you have it. The legendary coach, the General Bobby Knight, stepping to the podium. Now, of course, Indiana coming up on May the 3rd, extremely important because for the Cruz people, they think they still have a shot at this thing, especially if they win in Indiana. But the numbers are all falling in line with Donald Trump now. So if you're an ever-Trump person, well, you better find a candidate. If you aren't sure, I suppose you've got all summer and into the fall to make a decision. But as I said here Wednesday, I think it's all over but the crying. All over but the crying because people are tired of the same old status quo. More taxes, more fees, less respect around the world, an assault on Second Amendment rights. All of these things are on the table now. The southern border, all of these things are up for discussion now. And if you think Donald Trump is a lying SOB, well, then he'd be a bit better than the way John Boehner speaks about Ted Cruz, who calls him a miserable son of a, well, yeah, a miserable SOB. Lucifer. I didn't know John Boehner had it in him. But he was asked about Ted Cruz. He said, he'll be president over my dead body. Boehner says he's worked with a lot of people in his life and says that he is Lucifer in the flesh, is Senator Ted Cruz. Of course, the former Speaker of the House, who was not my favorite because he didn't have the stones to speak up like that very often. He says he's played golf with Donald Trump, describing them as text friends. Said his relationship with Ohio Governor John Kasich requires more effort, but they're friends, and I love him. He also said he'd vote for Trump in a general election, but not for Cruz. We'll get to some of those comments from Ted Cruz in a moment, but first, all over the state right now, there are millages going to be up this year, school districts and so forth asking for more money. One of those is going to happen in the capital city. Jerry on the line in Lansing to voice his opinion on these millages. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Steve, and thanks for letting me talk to your statewide audience. I'm just calling, I guess, to voice my opinion that people in Lansing got to be crazy to be voting for $120 million millage because they think that a few coats of paint, a couple walls, and new furniture throughout the school is going to all of a sudden bring people back to the school district. Because they've lost so many kids through school of choice and through the reputation of Lansing school districts being not too high a quality. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Why again throw more money at it? Wouldn't the way to bring people back to the school district be teach the kids? And I experience it every week. I help out and volunteer tutor at a couple of the elementary schools here. You have fourth graders throughout the school district who are supposed to know basic math facts, you know, all your multiplication tables and such. They don't know them. Some kids in fourth grade don't even know what division is.
Jerry, gotta let it be right there, but great comment. We have to teach our children better, I think is the message here. Back in a moment on Free for All Friday.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes that can cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all, and a heart I said, you can bet your life. Stakes are high, and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
Alright, here's one of the comments from one of our listeners, regular listener. Can't wait for Trump's government health care. Yeah, can't wait for Donald Trump's government health care program, the high cost of damn near everything, and the coming libel suits when Donald Trump doesn't like a news story against him. So there you go. So, you know, if If the election were today, would you vote Trump? Would you vote somebody else? Would you vote Libertarian? Would you vote Hillary Clinton? Or are you a Trumpster? That's my question for this Free for All Friday, as it looks ever more imminent that Donald Trump is going to be the candidate. He is going to take on Hillary Clinton. He is going to take on the gender card. Is being a woman enough to be president? We're going to take it all on. It's going to be an interesting summer, to say the least. Going to the hotline, Matt Anokimus. Welcome to it, Matt.
Well, it's Free for All Friday, so I'll get to it. Okay, they're making a huge mistake, the left. And what they are doing is they're using liberty to take your liberty.
And that's
that
true.
It only can be done if it's against the law, okay? Or otherwise we don't have liberty. See, if you had guns and you wanted everybody else to own a gun, and you went in front of their lawn and intimidated them because they didn't have a gun, to force them to have a gun, that wouldn't be liberty. They're using freedom of speech and intimidation to take freedom of speech.
You're exactly right.
They can't use it as an offensive.
No, they use the Constitution as a weapon against the rest of us, Matt. You're exactly right about that.
Yeah, see, we're making a big mistake with this government, too. They're not supposed to take care of individuals' responsibility. It's a collective thing. They take care of the library. They don't bring, you know what I mean? They take care of the roads, the bridges. If they go into the individual list, which is capitalism, takes care of that, then they expand the list because it never ends.
Yeah, there you go. Matt, you're exactly right about your comments. Thanks for joining us for Free for All Friday. That's one of the weaknesses of being a free nation. Is it when you have freedom of speech and freedom of expression, freedom to assemble, freedom to worship in any way you want, then you allow others in that you don't necessarily agree with and some that you wholeheartedly disagree with. That's what happens in a free republic. In a free republic, there aren't safe spaces in a free republic. People get to have this exchange of ideas. This free market of ideas exists in a free republic, as it should be, which is what Free for All Friday is all about. 888-900-9966. Will you vote for Trump? Have you come to like Trump? Have you always liked him? Will you not vote for him at all? Will you vote for Hillary Clinton? Will you not vote at all? Will you go to some third party candidate? What say you? By the way, Satanists are pretty irritated with John Boehner today. They're furious about those comments that he made. He said it's not fair to compare the Prince of Darkness, the devil, Satan himself, to Senator Ted Cruz. They said it's not fair to Satan. When asked by the friendly atheist, Satanic Temple spokesman Lucian Graves bashed Ted Cruz, said this: Cruz's failures of reason, compassion, decency, and humanity are products of his Christian pandering, if not an actual Christian faith, Graves responded. It grows tedious when pedophile priests and loathsome politicians are conveniently dismissed as satanic, even as they spew biblical verse and prostrate themselves before the cross, recruiting the Christian faithful. Satanists will have nothing to do with any of them. Anyhow, even the Satanists are upset about that whole thing, I guess. But Ted Cruz did speak out. Ted Cruz did speak out. Here is what he had to say about John Boehner's remarks. It's clip 4. Go.
John Boehner had some interesting comments last night. He actually didn't abbreviate what he said. He was a little bit more expressive. He allowed his inner Trump to come out. When John Boehner calls me Lucifer, he's not directing that at me. He's directing that at you. What Boehner is angry with me for is not anything I've ever said to him. I haven't said much of anything. What Boehner is angry with me for is standing with the American people. What Boehner is angry with is the American people holding him accountable. That's what the anger is, because the corrupt system that Boehner and Hillary have been enmeshed with for years, funded by Donald Trump. Donald's writing checks to Boehner. He's writing checks to Hillary. He's funding the corrupt system. It is unaccountable to the people.
All right, there you have Ted Cruz responding to the Satanist upset that Satan being compared. Now, here's something for you to consider. Seriously, Those that want a wall at the southern border with Mexico, want border security, want a border that is controlled and not chaotic and porous, are often referred to as bigots and xenophobes and a whole host of other things. Well, Italy now is introducing fingerprinting these refugees and migrants crossing the Mediterranean as soon as they're in boats, long before they even get to the shore. They're photographing, fingerprinting, and documenting each one of these people. Italy is. Can you imagine if the Americans suggested that you fingerprint, photograph, and identify and make a file like that before anybody even comes into the country when they're in that kind of no man's land in the middle? Wouldn't that be something? Well, it would help because the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency in 2015 released 19,723 illegal alien criminals, 208 convicted murderers, 900 sex criminals released. I wonder if they had fingerprints and photographs of those nice young men. 25 after on Free For All Friday. Senators Mike Noss and Senator John Prose, both plants were perfectly in perfectly good running order. They were mothballed because of regulations, because to overhaul them would have cost too much money for the company to keep them online.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So you just said, well, we need new technology. The plants are old and so forth. But not all of the plants are old. Plants are getting mothballed well before they should be. They're being, you know, put out to pasture when they still have good use in them. That's an expensive and, to me, irresponsible thing to do.
Oh, and that is exactly why we want to make sure that we control our own energy future in Michigan. You know, just this last couple of weeks, we've seen 8 different coal plants come offline in the state of Michigan, in part because of the actions of the federal government, and in part the efficiencies that you see at some of these plants that are sometimes multiple decades old really just aren't there anymore. So it's clear that there's going to have to be a change in the fleet itself as it relates to how energy is produced in Michigan. But what we want is Michigan produced in energy, not energy produced in another state and shipped to us at a premium.
Well, that's always a good idea.
We want reliability and affordability.
Now, Senator Prose, let's hold it there because Senator Noss is checked in now. And Senator Noss, welcome to the program. I'm sure you're picking
up. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you here, Senator. Now, here's my concern as we look at this, and I look at part of the comments about this bill. This bill, this is Senator Prose, I'm going to quote here. This bill represents a compromise that allows for the most affordable, reliable, renewable energy for residents of Michigan while giving them options for the use of technologies in such a way that makes it fair for all ratepayers. But here's my concern, and it's the concern of a lot of ratepayers here in Michigan. The government continues to subsidize so-called green energy because it cannot stand on its own. It represents a small fraction of the amount of energy produced not only in this state but in the nation. So proven sources of energy, be it coal or natural gas or whatever it may be, so-called fossil fuels still have better energy density and always will, scientifically speaking. So how far are we going to push into this renewable energy? How much is it going to cost me, the ratepayer, Senator?
Well, I'll tell you. Let me chime in here if I can. We put a process in this set of bills, this integrated resource process, and basically what that is we want everything to be considered, whether it be renewables, whether it be energy waste reduction programs, whether it be new natural gas plants. They go through a process through the Public Service Commission. Public Service Commission then determines if they're cost-effective, which mixture should we have so we have a diversity type of a setting to furnish our electricity for us. But it has to be cost-effective. If one is higher than the other, it should not be chosen. That's what we're trying to do, is control our own destiny, as Senator Prose has talked about.
But we're still, as taxpayers, we're subsidizing the so-called green energy. You know, we're subsidizing solar panels. We're subsidizing windmills. Their contribution to the energy grid here and elsewhere is a fraction. In some places, a very small fraction. And yet the cost for many of these so-called renewable energy sources is very high. That cannot be favorable to the ratepayers.
Well, back in 2008, they were very high, and we did the mandate, and that's what this package of bills does, is it gives reliefs to the ratepayers, that it gets rid of those mandates and those charges they've seen on their bills for the last 7 years, basically, to mandate that we go out there and get 10% of our energy from those sources you just mentioned. this bill, these sets of bills, do away with that. Senator Pro's bill does away with that and phases that out over the next 2 years, because we are going to control our own destiny, as he said, as Michigan. We're not going to do what the federal government wants us to do unless they force us to do it.
Well, and I guess my question is, how do they force us to do it? Here's the thing.
They control the transmission, so they can create prices to go through the roof if they so choose to do, as they did up in the UP when they raised everybody's rates, every homeowner's rates up there, $30 a month, because they thought we had to keep a plant open up there because there's going to be a shortage of energy.
All right, Senator, hold that thought right there. I'm with Senator Mike Nofs, the chair of the Senate Energy and Technology Committee, and Senator John Prose, vice chair of that committee. Hold those thoughts right there, because we want to talk about the fact that we're going to close not just the 8 plants that are closed so far this year. We've got another 17, I believe, that are going to close before 2020. At some point, that has to impact the grid and the amount that ratepayers are assessed each month. Your electric bill has to go through the roof. You can't close 25 plants and have no impact. Back on Free for All Friday, right after this.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones.
All right, it's Free for All Friday. Welcome back to it. The discussion, energy here in Michigan, the future of it, and how we're going to make sure our homes and businesses are lit up properly, heated and cooled, and done at a price that doesn't strangle everything else on the budget. That's the key here. Obviously, we need electricity. Well, some on the left might think that we could get by with candles and ride mules to work, but I'm going to go ahead and skip that opportunity. I'm going to go ahead and drive my vehicle and use electricity, because it's here for us and we've perfected it. On the line with me, Senators Mike Nofs, chair of the Senate Energy and Technology Committee, and Senator John Prose, the vice chair of that committee, talking energy here. So, Senators, and Senator Prose, I'll start with you this time. One of the things that concerns me here is that states like Oregon, much more liberal states, that say that they're going to demand in the next 20 years or so, their governor just signing into law, 50% of their energy must come from so-called renewable sources. I don't think the technology is there. My concern is this. We continue to lurch to the left. And so, therefore, at some point, somebody's going to come along and say, we have to do this. But we don't have the technology to support that kind of directive, do we?
No, we don't. And in fact, I'll add something very interesting to that question that you asked. Oregon has 70% of its baseload generation, the kind of energy production that allows you to turn on the lights when you flip the switch. That particular state has 70% of its energy production that comes from hydro, that comes from dams of along the Columbia River. We're never going to achieve 70%. We just don't have water flowing like that, and nor do we have the dam system to do it. But what we see in this legislation, though, is that integrated resource process that Chairman Nofs talked about in the previous segment identifies the most cost-effective source of energy that we should use. And believe me, we think also that it's important that we focus on energy waste reduction. That's going to help us to actually decrease the need to build a new plant. But the fact is that Michigan has to control its own resources, and we don't have Oregon's 70% baseload generation from hydro.
That's right. We don't. That's the Bonneville Dam, by the way, is the big dam on the Columbia River, on the Columbia River Gorge, right at Stevenson, Washington. Well, it's a great fishery is what it is. There's some good fishing right there. Just a little side note. Senator Nofs, let me ask you this. One thing I don't hear in this conversation, nuclear energy. I don't see nuclear in here at all. Is nuclear something that's, I know there's 4 plants being built in the United States right now, a couple in Georgia, a couple in Tennessee, I believe. Is that something we don't discuss in Michigan anymore?
Just got permitted by the federal government to be able to build a third plant, nuclear power plant down there in Detroit, so... No, that part of this integrated resource plan is going to allow nuclear. We do not, last time in 2008 when we passed this law, we chose what types of energy we wanted the utilities to use. This time we're not choosing. We're saying anything can be acceptable as long as it's cost-effective, reliable, and it's going to be there when we turn the light switch on. The power's going to be there at a reasonable cost. So whatever is cost-effective, we don't want to predict the future. We don't want to pick what source. We don't want to pick what fuel. We want the market and whatever is available out there that is reliable, affordable, clean, and is going to be there and competing with all these other types of fuel sources that are out there, we want the Public Service Commission to pick the one that's going to save us the most money and still do the job.
Now, let me ask you both this, because I think Senator Prost touched on this a little bit a moment ago, and that is the Environmental Protection Agency and all of these new rules and regulations, which should be called laws, which should go through Congress, but they don't.
Right.
And so these rules and regulations are handed down by the EPA, by a bunch of bureaucrats that's never been considered by the folks we sent to Washington to represent our needs and interests. But how concerned are you guys when you look at the EPA and the new rules and new rules and new rules, and it seems to stifle any power creation, it seems to stifle business along the way. What are your concerns?
My concerns are they're picking for us. They're trying to tell us what fuel source we have to use. I think you were talking about, you know, whether it be a solar, whether it be wind, you know, and that's what we're getting away from. That's the plan we're trying to write that controls Michigan futures, and we try to stay away from that as much as we can. And at the same time, we have an attorney general who's fighting those rules as they come down, standing up for Michigan, saying, leave us alone. We want to be able to do our own sources. We want to be able to do our own planning. We want to be able to take care of ourselves. We don't need you except
however,
you control the grid.
However, here's one of the big complaints. Even when Michigan won the first round in the Supreme Court on exactly what we're talking about here, Consumers Energy and DTE, they decided to close down those coal-fired power plants anyway because, if I'm not mistaken, they get to build new plants using natural gas and other power sources. And you know who gets the bill? I do. You do. We get to fund the building of brand new plants because they didn't want to even mess with this. Well, you know, they said to shut them down. Not a big deal. We're going to shut them down anyway, even though Michigan and Bill Schuette won in that Supreme Court challenge to the EPA rules.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We have, back in 2008, we did analysis of our fleet, and we found that we have one of the oldest fleets of any states. Ours is about 60 years old. It is coal, and some of these EPA regulations that came down prior to the new ones that are coming down, you should go to those plants. They've doubled in size just for the filtration and the screening that has to take place because of those rules that you were talking about, those requirements that you were talking about.
Right.
But those plants are old. And we have to start, you know, as you do with anything, you got to start replacing your car. You can't drive your car forever. Even though it still runs, it doesn't run that well. It comes a point where it's not cost effective, and you got to start planning on replacing it. That's what they'll have to show and determine. It's just like a couple of weeks ago, I was informed by DTE that plant went down, the turbine went down. It just isn't worth the amount of money it costs to replace that turbine to keep that plant going, so they're shutting it down permanently.
You know, to us, the ratepayers, though, in fairness, Senator, that sounds like a convenient problem to have when the ratepayers will foot the bill. Senator John Prost, I'm going to give you the last word today on this energy legislation. When do you think it'll be signed? What is its future? We got about 20 seconds.
Well, Chairman Noss and I have worked hard, literally thousands of hours of work, our staff and the folks who have testified, regular folks from all across Michigan about this. It's important, and it's something that we need to get out of the Michigan Senate before summer break. And we'd love to see this done before the end of the year with the coordination with the House of Representatives.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you for your time this morning to both of you, Senators Mike Noss and Senator John Prost, talking energy. I'm sure it's not the last word on it. It's just the latest word on energy in Michigan. Thank you, gentlemen. It is Free for All Friday, 52 after the hour. What are your thoughts? 888-900-9966. We'll pick your calls back up at the top of the hour on the Steve Gruber Show.